The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." And so to them he addressed this parable. What man among you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he does find it, he sets it on his shoulders with great joy, and upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep." I tell you, in just the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. Or what woman, having 10 coins and losing one, would not light a lamp and sweep the house, searching carefully until she finds it? And when she does find it, she calls together her friends and neighbors and says to them, "Rejoice with me, because I have found the coin that I lost." In just the same way, I tell you, there will be more rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And then he said, "A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me.' And so the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. As he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, 'How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? But here I am, dying from hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.' So he got up and went back to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His father said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son.' But his father ordered his servants, 'Quickly, bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead, but has come to life again. He was lost, but has been found.' Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, 'Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' He became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, 'Look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughtered the fattened calf.' He said to him, 'My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I wonder how hard it was for Paul to write that section in his letter to Timothy. Especially that part where he says, I was a blasphemer, persecutor. I was an arrogant man. I think Paul, at this point in his ministry, it's towards the end. I can picture him dictating this letter to his secretary. And as he's telling Timothy all these things, getting flashbacks of his past. You know, it's very possible that Paul didn't write this letter. Very possible that perhaps an aide disciple of Paul, remembering the ramblings of Paul, shared it in this letter to Timothy. But whatever the case may be, I really do understand what Paul is probably going through as he's remembering the past. I remember things that I've done that I'm not proud of. Sends a shiver up my spine. Laying in bed late at night, in that area between being wide awake and asleep, just dozing off, a thought from the past will come to me. And I will sit bolt upright, wide awake, and moan out loud, remembering how I was, things that I did, stupid things, mean things, arrogant, stubborn, using people. I'm not proud of it. And I'm haunted by those memories. Any of you have those memories, those flashbacks that come to you? A little shiver up the spine? Do you? Good, I'm not the only one here. Whenever those thoughts come to me, I just want them to go away. Just get rid of them. They haunt me and just leave. But all those things that we have done, they don't go away, do they? All those things are a part of us now. I think the point that Paul is making in that second reading is that, you know, past is past. We cannot change the past. As much as we wish, we can't change all of those stupid things, arrogant, stubborn, mean, nasty things that we've done. But we don't have to be controlled by the past. We don't have to be ruled by our past. I think what Paul is saying, the point that he really wants Timothy to understand, is that every sinner has a future. Every saint has a past. What Paul comes to believe about our Lord, what he really, 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 really believes is that he is merciful. He understands God to be that loving Father that we hear about in the gospel. Always looking out for us. Always desiring us. Just waiting for the opportunity when we take a step closer to him to run out and greet us. You know, we all know this story of the prodigal son, don't we? We have all lived this story of the prodigal son. To one degree or another, we see ourselves in this story so well. We know what it's like to be lost. We know what it's like to be found. That incredible grace-filled experience of coming back. That divine moment of being forgiven. The sacredness of being welcomed home. We know it. But now take your place out of the story. Switch places. Because that's what we're called to do. Question for all of us. Not to be forgiven, but whom do we need to forgive? Whom do we need to welcome home? For truly, Jesus has no hands, no body, no feet, no eyes, no wounds now, but ours.